You're listening to Wellness Wednesday, a show about health and wellness in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta.
Hi, I'm Evelina Ashe, PHN for 9 years, and I started from a bridge ADN program to BSN, and now I'm the nurse manager for Bethel Public Health Center. PHNs here do a lot of behind-the-scenes TB case management of both active TB and LTBI, latent TB or sleeping TB. Not everyone infected with TB becomes sick. The major differences between active and latent TB are with latent TB infection or sleeping TB, a person does not feel sick. Person has TB bacteria in the body, but the bacteria are inactive, considered sleeping. A person cannot spread bacteria to other people. People usually has had a skin or blood test showing TB infection with a normal chest X-ray. LTBI infected or sleeping TB can become active TB if it's not treated. But it can be treated with preventative medications. And a person with active TB disease, a person may feel sick and have symptoms such as coughing, feeling tired, losing weight. Person has active TB bacteria in the body. A person can spread bacteria to other people. And this person usually has a skin or blood test showing TB infection and a abnormal chest X-ray and must be treated with medication. And the signs and symptoms of TB are a bad cough that lasts more than a few weeks, 3 weeks or more, pain in the chest, coughing up blood, weakness or feeling tired, no appetite or weight loss. A TB is spread by sharing air with someone who has active TB. The bacteria are released into the air when that person sings, sneezes, coughs, or talks. TB is not spread by sharing utensils, shaking hands, or touching other surfaces a person with active TB has been touching. Oftentimes, we get a lot of questions by clients on what to expect after being tested positive for TB. A PHN will ask if you are having symptoms, make an appointment for evaluation with a provider at YKHC or Bethel Family Clinic for a medical evaluation and a chest X-ray. And they will give you sputotubes if you are having symptoms of active TB disease to be sent to the lab. A PHN works closely with the YKHC TB officers on getting labs for sputa, blood draws, and chest X-rays for diagnosing whether if it's active or latent TB. Treatment of TB depends on whether you are diagnosed with latent TB or active TB. If a person has active TB disease, PHNs will work closely with you and do a contact investigation. And this contact investigation helps in 3 ways. It helps to identify individuals who are high, medium, or low risk contacts known to an active TB patient. It also helps with timely initiation of appropriate treatment and also identifies treatment of additional individuals with the investigation. Medicine is the only way to kill TB bacteria. Your doctor will prescribe safe medicine for you to take. It's very important that the medication your doctor prescribes to you is taken appropriately, and the difference of TB treatment from the 1950s is that we can now treat people at their homes or in their own communities. Treatment can last from 12 weeks up to 9 months, depending on the diagnosis. A PHN will work with you on finding a DOT aide. This is a person who will directly observe you taking medications and will help keep track of your medications. A PHN nurse's role in TB control is they work closely with epidemiology, YKHC providers, and the community leaders in Bethel and or surrounding villages. PHNs establish a close relationship with their clients, health aides, and DOT aides to monitor if treatment is working appropriately, and PHNs often monitor labs, appropriate medication administration, and education. Monthly lab monitoring for weight and liver function tests. They also monitor signs and symptoms for medication side effects. In instances we have a surge of outbreaks in the villages, PHNs work closely with community leaders, clinic providers, epidemiology, and plan how to approach treatment of the whole village. For example, they will go out to villages for school screenings, targeted screenings. Targeted screenings is when we have an active case, several active cases in a village, and we do contact investigations around those active cases and do screenings. We also do a large community screening. So we do TB testing or do IGRAT blood draws in the villages. In your communities, we also find DOT aides and then educate the community on the facts of TB. If someone is concerned about TB in their community, please contact your local clinics in the villages or the Bethel Public Health Center at 543-2110. Or you can call YKHC providers or the Bethel Family Clinic. Tell me about yourself and where are you from?
My name is Katie Roy. I was born at Nanap in 1935.
There used to be lots of TB in the 1950s. Was your family affected by TB? And who was affected in your family?
Yes. I had a first 10 years of my age, I had a severe TB and a hemorrhage, lots of blood. And I went to a hospital, and first hospital was Bethel. And the hospital burnt there, I didn't know what year it was. I never keep track of, at that time, I never keep track of how old I was. And when I was in a hospital, I never keep track of those hospital burns. And then I was transferred to Dillingham Hospital. I don't know how long I stayed there, three or four years. And I started getting better. And when I started getting better, the doctor told me they're going to send me home and I could rest more at home. And I was able to walk. I couldn't walk anymore before because I was too sick from TB. And then when they were sending me home, he was walking me out in the hall to go. And I told him, thank you for helping me get better. And he said, you did it yourself. And I didn't understand what he meant. Mm-hmm. And I was really, really sure that he helped me get better. And then when I went home, I didn't, I stayed in bed for a little while. Then I started playing with other kids and tried to skate and fall on my head. And then I really started bleeding from my lungs then. And I almost choked on blood that was coming up. It got thick in, before it got out. I had my throat and I couldn't breathe. And so I know God had leading. God was leading me. I bent down as hard as I could, and then I popped out a chunk of blood. And then they put me on a stretcher and put me on a plane and sent me out. It was a concert at this time in Bethel.
Mm-hmm.
And from Bethel, they sent me to Anchorage. And my family started coming in, too. There was my mother, and there was my brother. My other two brothers went to other places. And my uncle, Calvin, and then in Anchorage Hospital, I still didn't know how long I stayed there, and they sent me out to Seattle on my later years, on my teen years, on my later teen years. And when I was in Seattle, I still didn't know how long I stayed there and what year I went. And they gave me lung surgery.
Mm-hmm.
When they kept me up, on the back, they took out two ribs and cut out part of my lung. And then after that, I lay flat on my back. And I was isolated and just barely living and didn't want to eat anymore. Doctor did say I almost died.
Oh.
And when I first went to a hospital, too, that they had no hope for me. But my parents kept on taking me back to hospital, and then they put me in a hospital and just to be there and die. But I never lost hope. I never think of dying, even when I couldn't get up, laying on my flat and still spitting up blood. Mm. I still never expect to die. And when I was isolated, nobody came in my room except nurses and doctors. And when people come to see me, they stay at the door, just look in. Mm-hmm. And then a doctor told one of the ladies, she died already. One of the ladies that came to have baby and came to see me, laying down and isolated. And even one of the ladies said when she went by me, she could smell the blood. Mm-hmm. I still got isolated and laid flat on my back after I had surgery. Mm-hmm. And then I had no feelings. I wasn't happy. I wasn't sad. I just existed. And I understood that when you are really, really sick, you don't have feelings. Mm-hmm. for sad or for joy. Just exist. And then when I was going to start getting better, I was still isolated. I start to feel the only feeling I started was anger. And I have no reason. I didn't know what I was angry for. And so there was a guy going by, and I know he smoked cigarettes, so I motioned him to come in and give him a cigarette. So he lighted and left, and the nurse happened to come by and come running in, grabbing away from me.
Oh.
Grabbed the cigarette away. And then I was still angry, feeling angry, and I had radio by my bed. So I turned it up really, really loud. And then the nurse come running back and I turned it out. After that, I start to have feelings and start to get lonely and start to get happy, and I was getting better. And they start using me for, I learned my English in the hospital because I didn't go to school. I just went to maybe third grade before I got sick.
Mm-hmm.
And then I learned my English in the hospital, and I'd never forgot my own language because my mother and my aunt Sophie, my uncle's wife, used to write to me in Yupik, and I write to them in Yupik. Mm-hmm. And so I maintained my language, and they started to... the staff started to use me as interpreter. I'm laying down and they fill me out and have me interpret.
Mm-hmm.
So when I started getting better too, they used to send me to problem patients when they won't talk. But I didn't know what they were doing to me. I didn't know what I was doing. So this one time, this lady, patient, who was really angry and she wouldn't talk to the staff, she wouldn't talk to nobody. And so they let me go to her room. And she was my friend. I sat on her bed, and I never say hi, and she never say hi. So we just kept quiet. She finally came and sat down by me and started telling me her life story. It was a really horrible life story.
Oh, wow.
And, I didn't know they were using me for a counselor. Mm. And she told me about her life in Natnik, how she got in jail, and then in jail they found out she had TB, and they put her in a hospital.
Mm.
And so they had me work with her, and I didn't know I was working with her. And they never tell me. And so she went home before me. It seemed like everybody else went home before me. My mother went home. My brother went home. And Uncle Calvin went home.
Mm-hmm.
The other people that were from my home went home.
Do you remember how they treated your TB in the hospital?
Oh, a lot of different kinds of ways. In Dillingham, they used to poke me in the stomach and fill me up with air. And so my stomach got big, and where they filled me up with air was keeping my lungs up so they don't hang. Keeping my lungs up to here.
Mm-hmm.
And give me shots. And I had so many shots on my backside, I started getting hard there. So they used to put me in a tub and let me soak. I healed that way. And my two youngest siblings didn't even know there was me and there was others, because when they came to know, when they become aware, there was just five of them, and she thought, and the youngest brother thought that that's how they were, that's all the family they were.
Mm-hmm.
And my youngest brother thought that my aunt was his mom, because she took care of him, but he was with them a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Coolidge. And there were so many other ways that they were taking care of me, treating me. Different kinds of medicines. But when I was laying flat on my back in Seattle, my two of my ribs grew back.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't get crooked. My body didn't get crooked. There was other people that didn't stay flat on their back. They one side of the shoulder is lower than the other when they're walking. Mm. But my sister said when we started going home, she was really surprised that she had mother when they told her her mother was coming back. And in those times, we didn't talk. Mm. My family at home didn't talk, and they didn't tell about who went. They didn't tell about their families that left until we started coming back. And when I came back, I didn't talk either. I never told stories. Mm-hmm. So way later, long, long time afterwards, we started talking about how they were when they were home, and the ones that were home, and how we were in the hospital. When I finally went home, I was in my early 20s. I was 20 or 21, and I had to learn my own way, my Yupik way, when I got home. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know how to do anything. And I started learning how to do things, like doing dishes. I knew how to wash clothes, but all the other stuff, like girls' rules and boys' rules, I didn't know about those things. And I finally started learning when I was in my 20s.
Can you tell us about the importance of taking the medication or your treatment, how you finished your treatment?
I didn't take medicines myself. Mm-hmm. The hospital took care of that. They give us treatments, they give us medicines. We never do it ourselves. Mm-hmm. So after I went home, though, I started hearing that it was important to take the medicine as prescribed and not stop when without letting. All those things I didn't even know, even though I stayed in the hospital for a long time. I didn't know those things only after I went home. Mm-hmm. Because in the hospital, when you're sick, you're not taking care of yourself. The staff is taking care of you. So I didn't learn those things then. I didn't know how to, I never learned the importance of how taking medicine was, because we didn't do it ourselves when we were patients. The staff did that for us.
Because you were in sanitariums? And what's the difference you see in this from that TB that you had, TB pandemic, and this COVID right now? What's the difference you see?
It was something like this, but worse, because we didn't get better right away. We didn't get better for years and years. Some of them didn't get better for years and years. Mm-hmm. And seemed like it was worse, the TB epidemic. Mm-hmm. But some of us have finally get better after years. You're sick, seem like sick for a short time, and people that die, they're sick for a short time. People that got better, they get sick there better in shorter time than having TB and trying to get better, having a lot of surgeries.
Yeah.
So I think TB epidemic was, for to me, it was worse.
Do you remember what kind of symptoms you had when you had TB? Did you have fever?
I didn't feel it.
Oh.
But I started, like a bubble will be coming up from my lungs, and then I know it was blood. It was just a sickness without too much pain, without a lot of pain.
Yuchtun git momicht kak hokaisun TB schpunk.
I think it was Tamani Mikasun Sasan Knea Ashako Naka Mogask Switch Hokota Birthday Naka Mogask Sunata Tosu Juan National Pep Nako Ashako Ayaganaska Tip Ayaganaska Nasu Kota Guama Aukamuka Ozuna Samanita National Haloko. My listener is very good. In Rokita Kastin, so in the Maxutum Jakota, Achinik Dakaja, and how many hours, how many in one day, or my youth listener is very good.
All right, everyone, it's time for the call-in section of our show. So if you have any questions about tuberculosis, we have our very, very knowledgeable public health nurses on the line, Evie, Ashe, and Donna. Would you like to introduce yourselves, ladies?
Donna, you want to go first?
Sure. Hi, this is Donna Fury, and I work with the Alaska Tuberculosis Program, and I'm based out of Anchorage. I've been in this program for about 16 years and worked really closely with the team there in Bethel and the healthcare providers at the hospital there, and of course, many folks in clinics over the years, and really appreciate folks tuning in today. Thank you.
And I'm Evelyn Ashe. I'm the public health nurse manager at the in Bethel, and I work with expert nurse
nurses here that deal with a lot of TB case management.
Thank you so much. And if you have any questions you'd like for our nurses to answer, we're here at 543-5985 or toll-free at 1-800-995-8954. I thought maybe while we were waiting for some people to call in, we could just talk a little bit about World Tuberculosis Day. Are there any fun activities or events that you know of that people could take part in?
Hi, this is Donna. And, you know, in other years, at least here with the Alaska TB program in Bethel, I think we have... I know we've participated in your radio program, and there have been some media events here in Anchorage, and but unfortunately with the COVID pandemic, we haven't really had the resources, the staff to put, you know, into that effort. But I will say if folks are interested in learning more about World TB Day, you can go to the, you could really Google World TB Day, and the CDC, Center for Disease Control, has a lot of resources about tuberculosis, because as we mentioned, there is so many people in the world suffer from tuberculosis, and so it really is a global disease that affects a lot of people. And so, as we mentioned earlier, we just really want to We work with folks with TB every day, but we really want to, you know, increase the awareness, because, you know, our goal is to one day eliminate tuberculosis. I think, one other thing I just thought would be so helpful, Evie's, interview with, Ms. Roll showed, you know, what TB treatment was like many, many years ago. And the good news is, of course, is we have medications for tuberculosis, and which have really, you know, changed everything about how we treat TB. Of course, when there wasn't medications, you know, folks, you know, the other surgical options and just rest and time, you know, were really all that we had. So we do have effective treatment for TB, and I think that's, you know, obviously the great news for TB. And but the challenge is TB is a really slow growing germ, and it takes a very long time to be done with treatment. And so somebody with active tuberculosis is on medicines daily for about 6 months and sometimes longer. So that's a long treatment. But we do, you know, try to work really closely with patients and families to help people get through the treatment successfully so that they are cured.
Thank you so much. And I'm just on the World Tuberculosis page here, the World TB Day page on the World Health Organization's website, and it says that 10 million people fell ill with tuberculosis in 2019, and 1.4 million people died of tuberculosis in 2019, and these are just some pretty staggering numbers, especially because I don't think that tuberculosis is necessarily as prevalent in the public eye as it has been in the past, and it certainly isn't as talked about, and I know that it's very prevalent in our region, in the YK region. Would you mind just talking a little bit about the outbreaks that we've had recently here and why it's so important that we raise awareness for this disease?
Sure. Well, I think, as you mentioned, you know, globally, tuberculosis, you know, it does affect a lot of people. And tuberculosis really did affect a lot of people, as we were mentioning, you know, the first half of the 20th century, Alaska had some of the highest rates that were probably ever seen. And what happens with that is many people who are middle-aged and older who had TB when they were young, or TB disease or TB infection as we get older, sometimes people with health conditions can, though they weren't sick and they were maybe even were treated or weren't treated, they can what we call reactivate. Their old TB disease can reactivate. And so, as we all know, in the winter, we often have, you know, well, year round, we can have a little bit of a cough illness, or, and we don't, maybe with COVID, we're not noticing it as much because everybody's masked. But the challenge is people can have, tuberculosis. It can reactivate, and then what happens is, because it is an airborne disease and you spend close time with your household, the people around you become infected. And if we have a delay in getting the person diagnosed, then by the time they're diagnosed, every case we do the contact investigation. But if there's a delay, you know, we could have several close family members that are infected or have TB disease. And so that is really not new for us, that if we have a case of TB and it can, you know, affect close contacts, and that is, you know, fuels what we would call an outbreak. And the southwest part of the state, you know, really had a really high rates of tuberculosis historically, you know, in the 1950s, as we were mentioning. And so that, you know, contributes to, you know, folks that weren't, as they get older, could be, you know, reactivating. And so that's why our message is, if people have persistent respiratory illness, not feeling well, you know, talk to your healthcare provider, make an appointment about getting screened for tuberculosis, because we want to catch folks early.
Definitely. Thank you. And if you have any questions for our public health nurses, now is a great time to call in. We're here at 543-5985 and 1-800-995-8954. You were talking a bit about masking and how COVID has made it a little bit more difficult to see, or maybe it's tuberculosis isn't as in the forefront of everyone's minds at the moment. But is there anything that you've seen with this outbreak, or any reasons that you think it's even more important that we're screening for tuberculosis and making sure that we are combating it in every way that we can?
Yeah, well, I think it's always, you know, it's always important for us to, you know, we really want to identify folks that have that are sick with TB, to get them treated so that they don't transmit, and somebody that has TB infection or the sleeping TB, to get them treated so they never go on to become sick with TB. I would say COVID, as folks know, you know, it has really taken a lot of the resources. And in terms of, you know, healthcare providers and communities have been so busy responding to this pandemic that, you know, unfortunately that takes some of the resources away. Though tuberculosis, when we, you know, cases are identified, they're treated just as urgently as they were prior, but I think just in the day-to-day activity. And then, you know, folks aren't traveling as much, or maybe there were delays in getting people in for, you know, x-rays. It's all the challenges that have come about with, you know, addressing the COVID pandemic have probably not been real helpful for a lot of folks with other health conditions, and tuberculosis would be one of them.
Certainly. Thank you. I think that that's really important, that we're still making sure we're making the time to be tested and making sure that we're staying safe, not just from COVID, because COVID isn't the only communicable disease that we face. I'm also just reading from our website here as we're waiting for calls at 543-5985 and at 1-800-995-8954 about the theme of this year's World TB Day, which is The Clock is Ticking. The theme conveys the sense that the world is running out of time to act on the commitments to end TB made by global leaders. This is especially critical in the context of the COVID-19 pandemic that has put end TB progress at risk, and to ensure the equitable access to prevention and care in line with the World Health Organization's drive toward achieving universal health coverage. And that's really cool. I wasn't aware that there was a lot of legislation or action on the part of world leaders to eradicate TB, but I think that's something that's certainly important, especially since it does affect so many people in our region. Do you guys have anything to add on that, or?
No, it is our goal. I mean, one day to, you know, to, our goal is to stop TB and eliminate TB. So, and tuberculosis, you know, for, as we were mentioning, you know, the length of time it takes for folks to be treated, and the challenges of when somebody's infectious having to stay home or not be at work. You know, there's a, tuberculosis is, affects people globally when they are sick with TB and their families. And so, you know, there's just a lot of resources that are needed, and we really do our best to help folks access that and coordinate with all our healthcare partners to make the treatment and you know, the progress for the patient as good as we can. But we, you know, we really rely on you know, the partnerships that we build and try to get everybody to work together. So it isn't something that can be done alone. You know, there it just really takes a team. And so I guess I just always ask folks to, you know, communication and working together, is it really benefits all of us.
Certainly. Thanks so much. I think that's a really important point that you've made. And Evie, here in Bethel, what can people do if they want to get tested for TB or they fear that they might have contracted tuberculosis?
So they can make an appointment at our public health center or go see their providers at YKHC or Bethel Family Clinic. And they can either do a TB test where they put a little bubble on your arm, or they can do a blood draw. It's called an IGRA. So either one, if they can make an appointment to see their provider.
And do you have the numbers where people can reach you, or is there any contact information people might be able to take advantage of?
Yeah. So our public health center number is 543-2110, or the hospital YKHC outpatient clinic's number is, to make an appointment there, it's 543-6442.
Great. Thank you so much. And I will put that in the show notes on kyuk.org in case anyone wants to reference those later. We only have about 5 minutes left. So if you want to get your call in, we're here at 543-5985 or at 1-800-995-8954. I'm just going to read off some of the World Health Organization's calls to action for us in ending TB, and if we don't have any calls after I finish doing that, then we will probably end our show, if that sounds all right with you guys.
Sure. Thank you so much. Really appreciate everyone's time today.
Of course. And thank you so much for being a part of this. All right. So, The Clock is Ticking, a World TB Day campaign for action. On World TB Day, the World Health Organization calls on everyone to keep the promise to accelerate the end TB response to reach the targets set in Sustainable Development Goals, World Health Organization End TB Strategy, the Moscow Declaration to End TB, and the Political Declaration of the UN High-Level Meeting on TB. diagnose and treat 40 million people with TB by 2022, including 3.5 million children and 1.5 million people with drug-resistant TB. This is in line with the World Health Organization's overall drive toward universal health coverage and the World Health Organization Director General's flagship initiative, Find, Treat, All, #NTB, jointly with the Global Fund and Stop TB Partnership. Research 30 million people with TB preventative treatment by 2022 so that those people most at risk receive TB preventative treatment, including 24 million household contacts of TB patients, 4 million of whom are children under 5, and 6 million people who are living with HIV. Mobilize sufficient and sustainable financing to reach $13 billion U.S. dollars a year to support efforts to end TB. For every $1 U.S. dollar invested to end TB, $43 U.S. dollars is returned as the benefits of a healthy, functioning society. And last but not least, invest in TB research to reach at least $2 billion U.S. dollars a year for better science, better tools, and better delivery. So we have about a year to accomplish all of these goals. And thank you so much for listening. I will be ending the show now. However, if you want to contact the public health nurses with the TB department here in Bethel, call 543-2110. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening today, and I will see you next week. And thank you, Donna and Evie, for joining me.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good one, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Wellness Wednesday, a show about health and wellness in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. Catch us every Wednesday at 10 a.m. right here on KYUK.